Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Then we'll go to Genesis 3 and 15, and then Isaiah 9 and 6. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." In Genesis 3 and 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I want to read Isaiah 9 and 6 one more time. I really want you to open your heart to this. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." I guess the question needs to be asked, is there peace in your heart today? Is there peace in your home today? Is there peace in your circumstances today? You know, we look today at this, at celebrating life. You know, a day where we wake up as we normally do on Sunday. We attend a church somewhere, as some do, and we worship a God that we love with all our heart. But today we wake up with a different sense of motivation. Today we wake up because we wake up to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's alive forevermore. Yeah. You notice I didn't say he's still alive. He is alive forevermore. And he's worthy of all our praise. You know, even if you can't conjure up a praise, you should just kind of maybe go like that real quick or something. But just get something motivated in your heart to where you're just saying to God, "Wow, thank you. I have a life. I have a promise. I have an eternal life, and I have a promise that will never cease from the one who has never failed ever." Now, I want you to know that every guarantee that you have on everything will fail. It'll either run out or they'll sell the company and the guarantee will not go to the next company. Every promise that you have made in your life, you've probably have dropped the ball. I know I have. Every statement that you have said in your life, there's probably several you'd like to pull back in you wish you'd never said. I know I have. But every time I know about the guarantee of eternal life through Jesus Christ, I know it'll never fail. Because the CEO never changes. The company's never up for sale. And God cannot lie. I know every promise that he has spoken into our lives will come to pass because he has said it. And I know that everything that Jesus Christ ever spoke, he meant what he said and he said what he meant. And he wanted us to hear the words, read the words, and understand the words that we would be comforted daily in a world that's full of turmoil, full of false promises, bad guarantees, and statements that's hurt. He wants us to know that there's a place we can go called an altar. Whether in your home, in the front seat of your car, on the way to work, at the breakfast nook, wherever it may be, that you could take a moment and worship Him. Ask of Him. And He hears you. Because He's alive. You know, I studied many religions for a long time. And every religion has someone that they worship. But that someone is not alive forevermore. Now, I'm not saying that there are religions that don't worship God who is alive forevermore. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying there are religions that have statues that they talk to. The statues cannot talk back. They can't hear. You and I have a Savior that will listen and He will speak back to you. He will bring grace into your life, salvation into your life, provision into your life that can come from no one else but Him. He can open up a door that men could never open for you. He can close a door that men have opened for you that could keep you from going through that door because on the other side are worse events that you're already going through. In other words, to kind of coin a message that I wish I would have written, He's got your back. He's always there for you. And what I like about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, the three in one, is that you don't have to scratch His back for Him to scratch yours. He'll scratch yours all day long. Just because He loves you, cares for you, and wants to deliver you out of all your difficulties and all your shame, and wants to give you a hope that never fails, Romans 5:5. A hope that fails not, a hope that will always have great expectation attached to it and will always bring the truth of His word and promise into your life. You know, I really love serving God because when you serve God, it's great. It's a blessing. It's worthy. Because when you serve God, the closer you get to God, the worse I look. I want to say you look bad, so I put I there. I didn't mean to change pronouns in the midst of a sentence, but I realized I almost said the worse you look. And I didn't want to do that because y'all look so pretty and handsome today and everything. So the closer I get to God, the worse I look. Because I see His holiness. And I see my need. And I believe God wants us to know today that what we celebrate in 2013 is as fresh as it was back on the third day when He rose from that tomb, right after He was horribly crucified and was carried into a borrowed man's tomb, laid to rest. Then they had to stop putting all the herbs and anointment on Him because it was a Sabbath. But when they came there that Sunday morning, He wasn't there. And it all kind of stems off of these scriptures today because God sent Jesus at the most proper time. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. You see, the Old Testament and the New Testament are definitely separated. The Old Testament is a historical story of the conflicts between two seeds. The seeds of the enemy and the seeds of God. A conflict, a constant battle. Cain and Abel is the first battle that we see there. And we literally know that sin had come to Cain's door and he responded to that sin. He killed his brother. Some commentators want to reference that that was the first sign of the seed of the enemy of our soul, Cain. But the point being is that we go through all of the Old Testament, all the years, the thousands of years of conflict, and we come into the New Testament, which tells the story where Jesus comes and delivers mankind from the curse of death and gives mankind life forevermore. Wow, how great is that? Isn't that wonderful to realize today that you could leave here having a life that will never end? A promise that'll never fail. A guarantee that doesn't have a hole in it no matter where you look for it. You can't even drill a hole in it. You can't break it down. You can't tear it apart. It's as solid as God's word is. And when we build on the foundation of the word, Matthew 7, 24 through 28, no matter what we go through in life, no matter how bad the storms, no matter how torrent the winds, no matter how strong the press against us, when it's over, we will still be standing. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead and worship Him. It's okay. We will still be standing no matter what. Can I just, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'd like to see a few. Do you ever go through anything? You know, you wake up one morning and it's the best morning in the world. I mean, the sun's shining. The U-Band's smells going through the house. You've seen those advertisements, you know. Your college child is home and they went ahead and made the U-Band in the morning while you were sleeping. And you come running down the stairs and everything's great, it's beautiful. Oh, it's just one of those days. The windows are open, the breeze is so perfect. You're like thinking, this is a great day. Then all of a sudden you get that phone call. Don't come to work today. We don't need you anymore. Or you get that phone call where something drastic has happened. Your whole life, in one swoop of a statement, turns upside down. Well, I'm here to tell you that no matter when that happens, how often it may happen, He is there with you. He is there to hold you, to support you, and to bring you through every storm, every wind of trouble, every difficulty, help you get over every mountain, through every valley, across every river, and cross every ocean safely to where you are secure in the arms of Jesus Christ. By the way, no one else could do that for you. No one can do that for you but the Lord Jesus Christ. Men have tried, but they have died. People have spoken things, but it never came true. But whatever He has done, He is alive. Whatever He has spoken will come to pass. You can count on it when it comes from the Lord. So you see, there's a struggle between the enemy today in your life. In my life, the enemy comes and wants to attack. He wants to bring struggle. He wants to bring doubt. He wants to bring fear. He wants to bring guilt. He wants to bring shame. He wants to bring intense pressures upon your life. But Jesus is fighting the battle for you. I want you to know that today. He is fighting the battle. He's not sitting there. He's not standing there. He's just not in some prayer room. He is forever interceding for us, Hebrews 7 and 25. And He is always performing the work within us, Philippians 1 and 6. And we can be fully persuaded that what we have given unto Him, He's able to keep until that day. But what I'm saying to you is that He is actually still fighting the battles for us. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Our position is to be still. So what really triggered all this that are celebrating today? What triggered this? It was man's disobedience in the garden. A simple statement, you can't eat from the tree of good and evil. I mean, the graphics that are set in the Old Testament and that conversation in the beauty of that garden, I can't describe by words. I can't even draw it to do a PowerPoint. I can't find someone like my wife that can who's an artist to be able to draw something that could even come close to what it looked like. But one day we'll see the glories of those colors in heaven. But there was a conversation between a snake, a serpent, and a woman. And believe me, Adam was at close proximity.
They had a conversation. She bit into the fact that this was true. If I eat this, I'm going to become like God. She bit into that fact.
Then when God showed up, what do we find? We find personally, they had an internal difficulty. That internal difficulty was that all of a sudden, after biting into that temptation and fulfilling that, they felt guilt and shame, and they were trying not to be in fellowship with God. They were keeping away from God. You see, that's what happens. People say all the time, why don't people go to church? The answer is simple. There's too much guilt and shame. They don't want to go to church because they may feel like even more guilty or more shameful. On the other side of the coin, it's a shame that the church makes people feel that way when they come in. Instead of loving on them and having glad they're there and being thankful that they woke up. I really believe this. I got a revelation about 1994, and I was really kind of a unique revelation from the Lord. It's just like the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, look out at the audience. And I did, and it was a fairly large audience. And he said, you know, every one of these people made a choice this morning. And I'm having this conversation with the Lord while I'm preaching to this audience. He said they made a choice to get up, bathe, take a shower, put on makeup, put on their clothes, and put on their shoes and drive their car and come down to worship me and to hear the word. They should be treated as guests that were welcome into the house. They made a qualified choice to make it to church. The church should always realize that no matter who walks through the doors, they made a choice to come here. Believe me, the enemy that shackles people does not want them in church. Because the key to that shackle to be removed is the name of Jesus. The name of a Savior that is alive forevermore. Freedom comes with Jesus. Liberty comes where the presence of the Holy Ghost is. And deliverance comes when God speaks. Amen. Oh, someone shout with me one time. I'm trying to stay dignified. It is Easter, by the way. But God gave life in the beginning to mankind. He gave life to them. Disobedience destroyed that relationship. I see disobedience destroying relationships in our world today. I see people losing their jobs because they weren't on time to work. They didn't do things properly the way they were told to do them. So disobedience. But, you know, it's just like Adam and Eve and the time when they were all of a sudden, let's use today's term, busted. All of a sudden, Eve blames the serpent. Adam blames the woman. So you got this circle of blame going all around there like that. And no one, another modern day term, no one would cop to the fact that they said yes to the temptation. That they disobeyed. I don't know what God would have done if somebody would have just fell on knees and said, yeah, I messed up, forgive me. I'm wondering if God would have just said, okay, I don't know. What I'm saying to you today is that today I know if you would say to the Lord today, Lord, I have sinned, I have failed you. He is going to forgive you and set you free and rinse you clean and you'll be free forevermore. So there was that internal problem. God restored to mankind through Jesus Christ. He restored life. God promises eternal life to mankind. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
John 10:10, the thief comes not to accept it, to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you a life, and that life more abundantly. That word abundantly means that that is going to be an overflowing life. Amen. Overflowing with God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. Overflowing with the promises of God. And then we see here in Revelation 7:17, it says, where the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, this is Jesus now, will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters. You see, today you may be thirsty in this pew. You may be thirsty in this house. You may be thirsty in your life. You may be come into this church already alive in Christ, but you're thirsty for a touch from God. He is going to take you to the fountain of living waters where you can drink and you're quenched. Your thirst will be quenched forevermore. Amen. He knows this. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And then we move to the fulfillment of that in Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. I'm going to stop there and tell you, you know, when you lose someone, it hurts. Someone you love passes, it hurts. Even if they knew the Lord, it still hurts. There is a celebration that people do. When someone passes, they'll call a funeral service a celebratory service. A service of celebration. But I'm going to tell you, we're built to hurt. There is an emotion that'll come. They may be celebrating right there that day, but some night they'll wake up. Someday there'll be a point in their life where they'll weep because they realize that that person is no longer there to embrace them, or they can embrace that person. The words that they spoke are not there like you hear my voice. They just have maybe a recording. But let me say this to you, that with all that we know, when heaven comes to us, there'll be no more dying. The Bible goes on to say there to us, there'll be no sorrow. We live in a sorrowful time. You know that, don't you? There'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no crying. What they're saying there is because the sorrow's gone, the death is gone, there'll be no more reason to weep. There shall be no more pain. How many's got pain this week? I've had a back pain this whole week. I had to lift my left leg into the car, my left leg out of the car to get out of the car. You know, that's no fun. It hurts. It hurts when it feels like somebody's putting a knife into your back on your lower left side there and you're wondering, how did this happen? No more pain. Has anybody been in pain lately? No more pain. Anybody been in any emotional pain lately? No more pain. Anybody been in some sort of a mental state to where their emotions are just going every which way and they have no direction what to do? They're in pain because they're confused. Has anybody been there recently? I'm here to tell you, when heaven comes, there'll be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. The former things are going to be gone. You see, I want to be part of the former things. But I want to be there also, part after the former things. The reason I want to be part of the former things is so I can tell people about Jesus Christ. And the reason that I want to be in the aftermath of all that is to rejoice and to praise God forevermore. I love Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, praise God. I can't imagine what 10,000 years are going to be like, but I know one thing, they're going to be great. Wonderful. So besides that eternal conviction, then there was an external judgment that happened. All of a sudden, there was going to be pain in childbirth. Some of the commentators and those that search these different Hebrew words out and go back to state that basically there was already a certain amount of pain at childbirth, but there was going to be much more now. That the woman now was going to be subject to her husband because of this. There was a judgment on man involved his work. Paradise would now become a wilderness. Joy of ministry in the garden becomes sweat and toil in the field. You see, it's not just about us today. I want you to look, not in the past, but in the back of your mind, realizing that there has been millions upon billions of people that have gone through history because of this disobedience in suffering and pain. But Jesus has set them free. There's even hope today for the hopeless person that you think has no hope. There's hope. Then there's that eternal promise that came. That's our story today. An eternal promise. A promise that you and I will go to heaven if we confess Christ. We find that Satan has been defeated not only at Calvary's cross, but at the tomb that day. He's defeated. The only power that the devil has over your life is that which you give him. Jesus is the power of your life. I was reading this week, and I read these three lines that I loved. It simply said, all power is given unto my Lord. All power is given unto my friend. All power is given unto my Savior. Praise God. All power, not just a little bit, all power. The enemy has no power over your life. Get Jesus into your life and walk in the power of love, grace, mercy, passion, and compassion. Walk and live in victory. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Amen. And Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father because he was the bright image, Hebrews in chapter 1, in verse 3. Of his glory, an express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me close with just something that I want you to hear. Does the acronym YOLO mean anything to anybody here? YOLO? Huh? There it is. We got some Twitter and Facebook fans here. YOLO is a huge Twitter statement and a huge Facebook. It means you only live once. I'm here to tell all the YOLO fans that to us as Christians, and I'm not saying that to you as you're believing that. You just know what it is. And so do I. Matter of fact, I used to quote scripture when I didn't even realize I was saved. I wasn't saved, and I quoted scripture back in the day when I was an evil person. I used to say, "Let's drink tonight, for tomorrow we may die." It's found in the book of 1 Corinthians, by the way. But I'm here to tell everybody, by the sound of this recording, this digital recording, and by anybody that's within this building,
Death to us is not a period, but it's a comma. Amen. We move into eternal life. It's a comma, not a period. So we don't only live once. Christ's resurrection has made a mockery of death. The death stinger has been removed in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. The grave has no victory on us ever again. He has disarmed and brought to open shame and triumphed over all those that would try to cause us to die. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I just want to say that right now. He has given us victory over every power, principality, kingdom, and dominion. Praise God. I hope the devil's listening right now. You have been defeated. Amen. There is no victory in the devil. Victory belongs to Christ. He's alive. Hallelujah. Christ's resurrection gives us hope. There's hope today. Hope. Even those that have gone to the grave knowing that one day there will be a last day resurrection, but they knew the Lord. There's hope for that resurrection. I don't know how God is going to take all these different body parts that got blown up all over the place, or how he's going to take a bunch of ashes and put them back together. But you know what? I don't ever question on God or what he does, because he can do it. If he can call this world out of darkness, out of nothing, and make it into something, if he can call that is which is not as though it is, and I'll just add this to the point, if he can save Dennis Adams, he can do anything. We have hope. Don't leave this building today hopeless. Don't leave this building today with a thought that there's no hope for me. There is hope. Stop looking through the eyes of secular humanism or carnality. Stop looking through the eyes of anger and bitterness. Stop looking through the eyes of guilt and shame. Start looking through the eyes that say, I have hope that's full of expectancy of a soon and coming King, Jesus Christ, the master of my life. Romans 8, Paul shows us that Christ's resurrection kicked off a chain reaction leading to the redemption of all things. Creation, which has groaned under the weight and futility of sin, has waited for the revealing of the children of God in order that it may be set free from the bondage of corruption. Romans 8, 20 and 22. No wonder Paul erupts in Romans 4, 4. When he goes, rejoice! And again I say, rejoice. I'm praying for an eruption in your life today. An eruption, you would say, rejoice! And again I say, rejoice. How wonderful it is. For those who believe death has the final word and embrace, it doesn't. Death to us is only a comma. Christ's resurrection gives us that new beginning. That new beginning. No matter where you're at today, death does not have an end when Jesus moves into your heart. Death does not have victory when God comes in. Death loses all its luster, loses everything when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. One day, we'll pass each other in heaven. We'll pass each other there. We'll greet one another. We may talk about today's sermon, or we may talk about 5,000 years earlier when we saw each other. But I think we'd always say this to one another: I'm glad I believed. I'm glad that I believed.
I'm glad I didn't stay where death had a period at the end of my life. But I'm glad I believed to where there was a comma. Amen, Brother Ed? A comma. Where we can step off and step in.
When we die, we open up our eyes and who do we see but Jesus? Praise God.
You know, churches that preach liberal doctrines and an easy place to go on Easter especially, people find those churches where all they're going to hear is a cute little message and never speaking directly at sin or that which causes people to be separated from God and they need to deal with it. Those churches are everywhere, and I tell you right now, I'm not ashamed to say, I wouldn't walk in there. I want to hear the truth. Amen. Why do I want to hear the truth? And why do I want to speak the truth? Because we live in a world that's full of lies. And everywhere you go, people are telling a lie. Today, I speak this truth to you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose for you. And he wants you to give your heart to him. He's not angry with you. He's not bitter with you. The results of your confession today will cause you life eternal. He has paid a price that he did not owe and that we could not pay. He went through it so we can go through to him. Would you bow your heads with me today? Jesus.